Hello, friends. Welcome back again. We've been talking about what the soul is. What is our soul? I gave you an idea that the soul is like a container. Think of your soul as like a container, holding all the unprocessed stuff, all your experiences that you've had in your life that have never been made at peace. The soul, have you thought about what your soul is? The Bible says that we've been made with a soul, a living soul, and a spirit, and a body. We know more about the spirit because God is a spirit, and we've been made in his image. But what is a living soul? And I gave you some ideas that other people have suggested and how it's been defined in dictionaries. But here's some more thoughts that I've picked up in thinking about. The soul is simply includes your will, your actions, your feelings or your emotions, and your thoughts and your mind. It includes your desires, your affection. The soul represents who you are on the inside. Your soul is a summation of all your thoughts and all your feelings and all of your emotions. And I saw something called, what is the true soul? Maybe that's what it means to have a soul that's restored. A true soul is where we're authentic. It's our authentic essence, where we've taken down all the mask. We've dealt with all the unprocessed junk in our life. And we have a genuineness about us. And there's a depth to us. It embodies our core beliefs. And the soul is living in alignment with your authentic self. There's no difference between who you act like, what you act like you are, and who you really are on the inside. So there's an alignment. So today I'm talking to you about how do we restore the soul. As I said, the soul is where it is brought back to where God created it to be. The word is shub. It means to turn back, to come back again. And I've mentioned that I discovered that after I had received Jesus Christ and been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm a new creation, I discovered I still had a lot of problems. But those problems were in my soul. My soul was not born again. My spirit was. The Bible tells us that our minds need to be renewed. So there's things that need to continue on after we first became born again. That some actions we need to take, some things that we need to process. So this process of restoring and healing our soul is a journey which goes throughout your whole life. And this journey is when you allow the light of God's love to penetrate to the very heart and core of your being. As I think I said in the other podcast or audio recording, is that Jesus said most of our problems are all in our heart. So we must understand this, that it takes time, so that we're patient with ourselves, that God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, that he wants to bring us into all truth. And Father, I pray now as I speak, Lord, that you give me an anointing that I can say those things that will help your people become to understand what it means to restore the soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Give them understanding. Give them eyes, Father, to see and ears to hear. And give me an anointing, Father, to speak. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps to restore our soul. He shows you areas in your life that need to be changed. One of the areas that happened to me very first was he made me aware that I had a secret that I had kept from my husband that I needed to tell him about. He also made me aware that I had taken two books from the library in high school and I had stole them and kept them. And now I'm in my 30s and suddenly the Holy Spirit makes me aware that I had stolen those books. Can you imagine? That I had to return them back to the library. I wrapped them up, addressed it, called the library, and told them I'm sending those books back. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so important in this restoring our soul. Unless we know something about the Holy Spirit and how he speaks to us, how he guides us, and how he touched it works with us, that we will not have our souls restored. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, and in Scripture it's called sanctification. It's where we take those areas of our life that are still filled with sinful behavior, with attitudes that are sinful, with thoughts that are not good. And the Holy Spirit is the one to point it out to us, to make us aware that these areas need to respond, need to be changed, and we need to respond. And we need to do the necessary forgiving, releasing, repenting, and praying for healing and restoration of our soul. We know with the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I can break curses. We can perform self-deliverance of demonic spirits. But your goal, and why I'm doing this class, is to help you have a healthier soul, one that is able to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, as I said, soul, all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So the characteristics of a true soul, I've already talked to you about that, but what does it mean to restore your soul? It's a question to think about. How does that take place? One of the ways it takes place is because it's the Holy Spirit. Another reason why it must take place is because God's goal is to change us, to transform us. If we renew our minds, we become transformed. We'll talk in another session about our identity and how we see our identity is made up of what we believe about who we are. But for today, I want to talk about what does it mean to restore our soul. And one of the very first and primary healings that you need, if you don't have this for your soul, is that you have something what we call a new birth, a spiritual birth, that you're reborn, because Adam's spirit was died. And for your soul to be restored, you must set up have a living relationship, a personal relationship with the living God. Peter understood this when he said, having been born again. That's in 1 Peter 1:22, 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Adam was a corrupted seed. But the new Adam, which is Jesus, right? He's an incorruptible seed. He never sinned. He had no sin in him. So we need to be born from above. You can call that what you want. You can call it conversion. But it's an experience. It's not just something you make up your mind. But it's a reality that you repent of your sins, that you come to Jesus and you believe he is Lord and that he was resurrected from the dead, and you ask him to come and live within your heart. It's called a spiritual transaction that you're making. And it takes place in your spirit, not your mind. You got that, friends? You can read about it in Romans 10, 9 through 11. And you can read about it in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. And when this happens, when this spiritual transaction takes place, we now have a union between our spirit and the Spirit of God. Great, think about that. You're not alone in this world anymore. You have a union or a oneness. You have a relationship with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. It says in the Bible that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Jesus Christ is the mediator between you and God. This is why this powerful God that created the world, can you imagine? I have a hard time imagining a God who created the world. Maybe you do too. It's our little puny minds can't even begin to comprehend who made this world. But we are here in the world, and what do we do with our time while we're here on earth? What is it we're here for? And so if we discover that we need something more than you have, then you need to look at the Bible. You need to look at what Christianity offers you. It offers you a union, a relationship with the Spirit of God. This is what happened to Adam in the garden when he rebelled against God. He lost his union with God, his relationship. He could no longer know what God was saying to him. This is what happens. But this is the first and primary healing your soul needs, friends. You got that? And I trust that all of you coming to my group understand the need to have an experiential relationship with the living God. It's not a theological decision. It's something that takes place in your spirit because of faith, because suddenly you believe. And you believe in your heart, it says in the Bible, that this faith takes place in your heart. And when I was 32 years old, somebody helped me apply faith. I had been asking Jesus to come into my heart for a decade. Well, that's not true. I was 32 years old. And since I was 12, I had been asking Jesus to come into my heart. But I never had any confidence that he had come. I never had any confidence. That lack of confidence means I had no faith. Hebrews 11 talks about what faith is. It's confidence and assurance. And so my friend, this new friend I met, talked to me a lot about how to apply faith when I ask God to come in my heart. You can go back, I think, on my YouTube channel, and maybe you can find some of my early stories of how I talk about the bread and the egg and the fish. And maybe it'll help you get some confidence. Because in this group, the Zoom group that we're going to start, is there to help you restore your soul. But the first thing that needs to happen, friends, is you need to have this relationship with the living God. And only that can happen is when you do what I suggested you do. So you can listen to my podcast, find one where I talk about my experience and how I came to honest, genuine faith, confidence, assurance. And that day changed my life. And my husband saw all the changes in me, and he says, I want what you've got. It was something more was added to me. I also asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my husband saw that something happened to me. But the problem we have in many of our churches, take a pause a moment and just rest. I know I'm giving you a lot of information. So this restoring of our soul is a journey, I said, that takes on throughout our life. We rely the light and love of God to penetrate to the very heart of your being, to the core of your being. Think about an onion. An onion has a core in its being, right? There's many layers in an onion, and you peel back one layer after another. That's kind of what happened to me. Until one day I was praying, Lord, I believe there are some lies at the core of my being, or at the center of my being. Would you heal me? I'll talk about that in another session when we talk about the lies. But that's my story. That's what happened. The Holy Spirit made me aware that I need to pray, Lord, there are lies in the center of my personality. Would you heal me? That's the core of the onion. That means that God had taken care of all the other layers that had problems in there that I had never dealt with. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord. But many churches and many Christian people don't focus on what it takes to get a healthy soul. But what they become is sin conscious. They focus on the sin, but not the disease. If you go to the doctor, you don't want him just to focus on your symptoms. You want him to treat the underlying disease, don't you? But we need to have the root of the thing exposed. Too often in church, you know, where they talk about behavior management. Some of you have been in my groups before. We've talked about this. We need to manage the sin problem. If there's a struggle with pornography, for instance, addiction to pornography, the people who have this problem feel bad about it because every time they fall into this sin, they're filled with shame. To make matters worse, Their partners catch them looking at pornography. And now their marriage is in a crisis. So often the church is focused on helping us overcome these addictions, pornography addiction. The addiction is treated as a problem, but it's not the root cause. So when the church ministers only to the sin management, we try to tell people to stop that. Get accountability. Get somebody you're accountable to pray more, to read your Bible more, right? To memorize scripture. You don't get me wrong. All of these things are important. But until you get to the root problem, I think I talked the other recording about when we have a garden, we have weeds that need to be pulled up. The weeds just can't be cut off at the top, but you have to go down and find the root issues. Jesus talked about this. The root issues of our sinful words and actions lie in your heart. Listen to what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 12:34. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. For the out of the overflow of the heart. So these problems are in our heart. In Matthew 15:18-20, you can read these scriptures on your own, and I hope you do. But he said, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile you. For the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, fake testimony, slander. These things defile you. It's not what eating with unwashed hands. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is talking about, this is what, not because your hands weren't washed. How many of you had mothers say, go wash your hands before you sit down at the table, right? Jesus is saying, no, it's not the problem. The problem is in your heart. The problem is much deeper. I know some of you have some serious problems, some many symptoms that are very frightening to you, and you can't seem to shake the symptoms off, can't get rid of them. But begin to pray about your heart. Lord, what is in my heart that causes those symptoms? What is the root issue, the root problem? And we need to stop struggling with these sin patterns. We need to begin to pray, Lord, what is it? I'm obsessed with my problem. I don't like my problem. I want to get rid of it. But God's much more concerned about your heart than you'll ever know. So give God access to your heart today, friends. Ask him what's underneath your behavior. What do you do that's driving those symptoms? When you get to the heart level, you deal with the disease and not the symptoms. You deal with the roots and not the leaves. You deal with the heart and not just part of the behavior. It's where true transformation, where the heart or the soul can be restored and transformed. The good news for you right now is that the Holy Spirit is available to help you restore your soul. So I told you about my books I sent back. It's the Holy Spirit that did that. So make a decision to give God access to your heart, to go through layer after layer and uncover and process everything that God, the Holy Spirit, brings into the light until you get to the core issues. The Holy Spirit says in Matthew, what are Gospels, Jesus said, whatever is hidden must come to the light. I'll say it again. Whatever is hidden must come into the light. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring those things into the light, to restore your soul. The soul can be in many, many different conditions, by the way. And it says, and I think I read in the last one, our last recording. This is our second recording, but it's for lesson one, session one, Psalms 42. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? O Lord, heal my soul. Psalms 41:4. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may God, the God of peace himself, sanctify you entirely. Sanctified is that word I mentioned that makes it holy and cleans up all the results of sin in your life. And may your spirit and soul and body be made complete. May your soul, without blame, in other words, without fault, with nothing left over from the days your soul was wounded, no hurts left over, no broken heart left over, no unbelief, no lies left over. That these things are all dealt with. In Psalms 143, verse 4, I have persecuted my soul. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in dark places. And in Isaiah 39:15, it talks about anguish or bitterness of your soul. And then it talks about Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, I can give rest for your soul. That's the solution. He wants to give you rest for your soul. Your souls can be fearful, unbelieving, doubting, sad, hurt, mournful, demonized, deceived, unforgiving, angry, ignorant, blaming. Shall I read that list again? Your soul can be fearful, unbelieving, doubting, sad, bitter, hurt, mournful. I once met a woman in Germany who had lived during World War II, and she saw her mother raped by a Russian soldier. I think a child might have been born. But she indicated she was a very sad woman. Her soul was so sad. She says, there's never been a day in my life that I don't remember that moment when my mother was raped by the Russian soldier. See, she had never had her soul restored. She lived her whole life with her soul unrestored. He lived with the mournful sadness, the fear of that happening to her. Because Jesus came that all these things might be brought into a place of peace. Peace in your soul. Jesus said himself, I've come to give you peace. I've come to give you peace, not as the world gives us, but I've come to give you peace. Don't let your heart be troubled, he said in John chapter 14, I think it is, verse 1. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. Later he repeats it, don't let your heart be troubled. So it's our responsibility that we believe what Jesus says in the Bible and that we believe it from our whole being and that we take time to let it get into our heart. In Proverbs 4, it reads like this, if I can remember it right, it says, my son, listen to my words. My son, my daughter, listen to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes or your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they will be life to those who find them. Life. Do you want more life? You want abundant life? And health to their whole body. It also promises healing for your body. Many of our bodies have got problems, physical problems in them. But Proverbs 4, read it and look at it and say, Lord, is this for today? You wrote your word and said your word stands forever. And that God does not lie. So he says his word is pretty powerful. The written word of God in the Bible is pretty powerful if you take time to meditate on it and let it come into your heart. Or can your soul be filled with peace and quietness? Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Can it be filled with rest? Can it be rejoicing? Can it be pleased? Or is it in distress? What is the condition of your soul today? Do any of those words apply to you? It's a long list of words, and you can make up your own list. How does your soul feel right now? Soul loss is another interesting set of words. Soul loss, loss of soul. Is the feeling of being disconnected or disassociation from yourself. Soul loss is the feeling of disconnection or disassociation from yourself. Soul loss is a fragmentation or disconnection that typically occurs after experiencing a traumatic event. I know some of you have had serious traumatic moments in your life, and it can leave you feeling incomplete or separated from yourself and your body, disassociated from your body, disassociated from your spirit, incomplete. The word is soul loss. And it comes when you've had traumatic events that you've never had, went to Jesus with to have him heal, to bring his peace into his traumatic moments. And I know that many of you have had traumas in your life, big traumas. But God, the Word of God promises us peace in the midst of those traumas. This is what it means to restore your soul. Otherwise, your soul will carry that trauma its whole life. And that's why you're taking the class, I believe, is because you don't want this. You don't want those symptoms that reflect a loss of soul. And our soul craves something, by the way. I don't know if you realize it. There's a scripture, and if I can remember where it's at, but our soul craves, like a deer craves for water, a deer craves for the water or the spring or the pool. So our soul craves for God. I don't know where that scripture is at, but it's an important scripture. Maybe I'll remember it later. Maybe I'll find it now. But our soul craves for God. It craves for God like a deer craves for water. This is in the Old Testament. Your soul will never be at peace until it has a relationship with the living God, because God made your soul. Your soul belongs to him. You know, when we're talking about restoring your soul, and I've chosen to use that word for this class, but some people have called it care of the soul or soul care. I know that, if I can remember her name, many years ago she wrote a book called, Restoring the Christian Soul by Leanne Payne, Restoring the Christian Soul. I don't know what, probably in the 1990s she wrote that book. And recently, Dr. Rob Reimer wrote a book, Soul Care. But I'm calling this class Restore the Soul, because the Bible in Psalms 23 talks about it. That he will restore our soul. And David seemed to know that in the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it goes on, he says, he restores my soul. It's a favorite scripture of many people, favorite psalm. But soul care, the care of the soul, has its origin in the Latin word cura antemarium. I can't pronounce Latin, but cura is most commonly translated as care. It actually, I lost my place here, contains the idea of both care and cure. Care refers to actions that are designed to support the well-being of someone. Cure refers to the actions that are designed to restore the sense of well-being that has been lost. To restore this sense of loss, sense of well-being that has been lost. Can you think back on a time when your soul was at peace? Can you think back at a time when your soul was in a different place than it is right now? Soul care is an intentional practice of integrating all aspects of our human experience, physical, relationship, emotional, sexual, and vocational. These core aspects of our human existence form the real you, the real soul of a person. Traditionally, hundreds of years ago, the care of the soul and soul healing was the responsibility of the priest or the pastor, not the social worker or the therapist, right? Or the psychologist or the psychiatrist. But today, most priests or pastors turn the care of the soul over to them, to the professionals. But today, there are many people who know something about helping other people in the care of their soul. This is why I can talk with you, because I've experienced it myself. Some Christians are even trained by the Holy Spirit to help with arenas of your soul that you don't even know exist. We call that ministry, right? You don't have to be a priest or a pastor to have a ministry. And you know I have a ministry. It's called Kairos Ministry. It's a nonprofit. Kairos Ministry Incorporated. But usually on my website, I just use my name, Judith Doctor. And these recordings, I think, well, I'm going to write it to you, so I don't need to tell you right now. But one of the things we need before I close this process up, I close this tape up, or audio recording, excuse me, not podcast, but is that you need the power of God in your life. We need the presence of God in your life. And I would encourage you to say to yourself every day, it's called a discipline, the practice of his presence. It's simply the discipline of calling to mind the truth that God is with you. When you consistently do this, the miracle of seeing by faith is given. So I do this most every morning. It's a practice of his presence. Because our soul is sick. Our soul is in trouble when it was alienated from God. But our spirit gets better because it gets united to God. But the soul itself, I'm making a mess of this, aren't I? I'm not really doing it right. Practicing the presence. The presence of God is not the same as the sense of the presence of God. Maybe you've had a time in your life where you sensed his presence was by you, where you were aware of his presence. But what I'm talking about now is I'm going to ask you every day to practice this presence and simply say, I thank you, God, that you are with me, that you are with me, that your blessing is upon me, that your favor surrounds me. Can you do that? Shall I say it again? I thank you, God, that you are with me, that your blessings are around me, that your favor is around me. I thank you, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. Something like that. Practice saying that maybe 3 or 4 or 5 times a day. And I look forward to seeing you in group, and you'll be having some notes to study about. But there are other things you can do to help foster the soul, but I think I'll talk to you about that in group itself. But thank you for listening today. And this is session 1. It starts September 17th, I think. And we'll have it on my podcast where you'll be able to go listen to it and play it as many times as you need it. Thank you for listening today, friends. Bye.